Hi, this is Brian Adams. You're in the studio with myself and Redbeard.
Thanks, Bri. He told us in the studio that he started writing songs at the tender age of 15. So I asked Brian if there was any particular time or place that inspired him to write a song.
Oh, the oddest times. I mean, sometimes I'd be at a football match and you know, I'll think of something and I'll have to scramble around for a piece of paper. And, you know, if you're traveling in a car and you're thinking of something, you know, you've got to do the same thing. But generally, if I'm thinking of words, I just put them on whatever's in my pocket. And then later on, I put them in a book or on my computer or something.
Have you ever remembered that you had some kind of inspiration for a lyric or a song or something and misplaced any of those?
You know, I don't want to think about that, Redbeard. I'm sure there's been times where I've lost a scrap of paper. But I can recall on my last album, on 18 Till I Die, that I'd written a song title down from just something I said to somebody one night. And I said, you know, the only thing that looks good on me is you. So it's like a bad chat up line. And I wrote it down. I thought that was quite funny. And then, you know, 2 years later, it became a song. So I tend to try to keep track of things that I say, because sometimes I just blurt out something. That could be a song title. I better write that down.
You know, your dry cleaner had a hit a few years back. Imagine that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Try it on, baby. Yeah!
I spent 8 months living in Jamaica. I've been living in France for a while. And I just sort of, wherever I go, I sort of bring a guitar along. I mean, this Christmas I went back down to Jamaica and I spent the holidays there and spent most of the time there just writing songs. wherever I lay my hat, it's my home. When I was with my folks growing up, we traveled around the world quite a bit. My father was a diplomat, and so we traveled pretty extensively around Europe and the Middle East. So I'm a global nomad, Beard. That's my gig, man.
Well, you knew it was a small world before the rest of us did. You knew that it was world music.
It's not a small world, man. It's a big-ass world, okay? It's big. It's a lot. And it's hard to cover it, you know? Sometimes I wish there was two of me so we could... We could do two things at once, but it's kind of hard to do that.
Well, there's some doctor that's working on it right now.
I'm up for it.
To really love a woman, to understand her, you gotta know her deep inside. Hear every thought, see every dream, and give her wings when she wants to fly. Then when you find yourself lying helpless in her arms, you know you really love a woman. When you love a woman, you tell her really want it. You love a woman, you tell her that she's the one. Cause she needs somebody to tell her that it's gonna last forever. So tell me, have you ever really, really, really ever loved? Love a woman, let her hold you till you know how she needs to be touched. You gotta breathe her, really taste her, till you can feel her in your blood. And when you can see your unborn children in her eyes, you love a woman, you tell her.
I don't want to sit still. I'm as excited about making music today as I was when I first started, and I'm into it for music. I'm not into it for the glamour or the celebrity or the, you know, I love writing songs and I love going on tour with my band, and that's what I do. And the fact that it's become an international success has a lot to do with the fact that I got involved in some film work.
Right.
If you imagine the music business to be the size of your thumbnail, then the film business is the size of your hand. You know, it's such an immense, it has branches to places you wouldn't even imagine. So everyone loves a movie. And so what happened is, you know, by being involved in that, I was able to play around the world. I mean, in places I could never have imagined. I mean, from everywhere from South Korea to the Philippines to Vietnam, the whole Asian area to India to the Middle East to South Africa into South America, around the world. And so when you talked earlier about the whole idea of being a small world, well, when you have to do 24-hour flights, let me tell you, man, it's a big world.
Does the medium of film and Hollywood film that you mentioned, does that get into places in the world that even rock music doesn't?
Yes, it does. And I love being involved in the film world because I think it's a great opportunity, again, to challenge myself musically. Every time I've done something in film, it's always been quite different, and it's brought out something else in my writing that I didn't know I could do. So I hope to do more of it. We've been nominated 3 times for Academy Awards, so it's a good reason to stick with it.
Wanna be young the rest of my life. Never say no, try anything twice. Till the angels come and ask me to fly. Gonna be 18 till I die. 18 till I die. Kill it forever, it's wishful thinking. Whoever said that must have been drinking. Don't wanna grow up, I don't see why. I live for the minute. If you wanna stay young, get both feet in it. 18 till I die. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything. Gotta get on track. Not how you look, it's what you feel inside. I don't care when, I don't need to know why. 18 till I die. Yeah.
Hi, this is Brian Adams. You're in the studio with myself and Redbeard for Unplugged. We've been invited to do Unplugged for years, and I don't know, I suppose I was a little bit nervous about my repertoire and never thought that the songs I had would be the right songs. And they asked me again last year, and I thought, well, maybe now's more of the time, because some of the songs on 18 Till I Die, the last album, would have lent themselves really well to the Unplugged situation. So I thought, maybe this is the time to do it. And so I wrote a couple of extra songs, of which one is the most current single, Back to You. And yeah, I just thought now is the time. So it actually was, I think, a good decision.
Why did you have hesitations in the past about your repertoire and that format or that performance or that making that TV program and subsequent album?
Well, I've never done a TV program in America before, so I was a bit nervous about that. I was a bit nervous about just, you know, it's sort of the fear of the unknown, really. Just will the arrangements just, you know, just be acoustic versions of the originals, or you know, what am I going to do? What am I doing here? And so the idea was to sit down and really work on it and just think about how to make this more original than just acoustic versions of the original songs. So we brought in some accompaniment. We brought in an Irish musician called Davy Spillane, who plays Irish whistle and pipe. And I asked Michael Kamen, who's been a long-term collaborator with me for the last sort of 9 years. He also lives in London. And I asked him to come and conduct an orchestra for me. And I asked Pat Leonard, who produced the record with me and helped me with all the arrangements of the songs. And I think the people that I brought in to help make it a bit more interesting did make it more interesting.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime. Was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit and Jody got married. Should've known we'd never get far. But when I look back now, the summer seemed to last forever. And if I had the choice, you told me that you wait forever. And when we held my hand, I knew that it was now or never. Those were the best days of my life. Back in the summer of 69. Hey! Man, we were killing. You wonder what went wrong. Standing on your mama's porch, you told me that it lasts forever. And when you held my hand, I knew that it was now or never. Those were the best days of my life. Back in the summer of 69.
that I remember writing that song on an electric guitar. So the intimacy is probably enhanced by bring it into an acoustic setting. Well, it could have something to do with the fact that it was the first song of the night, and I might have been kind of nervous. I've never tried to analyze it, to be honest. So it is what it is, and it is a sensitive lyric. So it's quite nostalgic, and yeah, I mean, it's about making out in the summertime. So you can look back, and everyone's got a good memory of that. It's totally metaphoric. I mean, right. there's nothing about that song that's particularly about that time period. It's only about making love, you know. That's what that song's about. To make the right decision on what songs to play was kind of simple. I mean, I made up a sort of a list on a piece of paper of songs that I thought were right, and then sat down with the band and Pat, and we just sort of started playing, and whatever song sort of gave us put a smile on our face was the song ended up being in our sort of checklist. You know, you just got to go on your gut, really. I didn't want this album to be a greatest hits live. I was sure about that. I thought that the album should be a little bit about the past, a little bit of some of the more obscure songs I've recorded, and a little bit about the future. We had already put out a greatest hits record, and I wasn't sure about that at the time, but that turned out to be quite a good decision. But I didn't want to repeat that again, and with most of my records, I don't want to repeat myself. So stylistically, I wanted to make it different, and perhaps even to push the MTV boundary a bit and bring in musicians and arrangements that perhaps you wouldn't ordinarily hear on MTV. It was a chance, really, to sort of reinvent things and to really hang your, well, I can't really say it, but, you know, to hang yourself out in the line.
What are the rules or the restrictions to MTV Unplugged?
There are no restrictions. It's really an open book, and MTV, I've always been pretty cool about it. And I think they would like me to put a couple more of my bigger hits on the record, but, you know, to do that would have been compromising what I'd originally thought would be the right thing to do for me. So keeping it within the framework of the songs we'd chosen was the right decision, and I stand by that now, because had we put something like Everything I Do or on the record or Run to You Again, which people obviously like, but to keep redoing them over and over doesn't move forward. You stay in the same place, and this is about moving forward.
Take me home, back to you.
I wrote back to you with this unplugged completely in mind, and I wanted a song that would be really sort of strum-alongable, toe-tappable, head-movable, body-shakeable, and something that anybody could pick up an acoustic guitar and play along with. And that's really what I hope to do. I mean, I sort of wanted to write, you know, if I could have written American Pie, I would have written American Pie, but that's what I wanted to do, write a song that was just, yeah, your head starts to go and you're in there, whether you know the song or not. And that was the mission on Back to You. And I think I accomplished that.
You know, Bri, there's an opening in the Traveling Wilburys. Is this your public audition?
Well, I mean, anytime you put an acoustic guitar with a slide on it, it's going to have reminiscence of, you know, My Sweet Lord, or, you know, it's going to have that George Harrison thing.
When we had it all worked out, you had this boy believing way beyond the shadow of a doubt. Then I heard it on the street, I heard you might have found somebody new. Well, who is it, baby? And tell me what he means to you. I took it all for granted, but how was I to know that you'd be letting go? Now it cuts like a knife, but it feels so right. It cuts like a knife. Times I thought I'd been misunderstood. So wait a minute, darling, can't you see we did the best we could? This wouldn't be the first time things have gone astray. Now you've thrown it all away, and it cuts like a knife, but it feels so right. Cuts like a knife, yeah, but it feels so right. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Thank you.
Some of the songs on the Unplugged were arranged on tour when we were touring in Europe in 1997. And one of the sound checks, Keith Scott, who's my guitarist, he just started playing sort of a mandolinish type of thing for Cuts Like a Knife. And we discussed it after our sound check and said, you know, that would be great if it was a real mandolin. And I heard the song the other night on the radio, and I thought to myself, I'm very glad that people are playing it. And I was happy to hear the new version, because you have to remember, when I recorded that song, it was 1983 originally. And so to hear it now reincarnated is satisfying, because you can imagine I've sung that song 1,000 times. You know, my phrasing is kind of different. The band plays it differently. And of course, the new arrangement brings new life to the song. But it was nice to hear it, because the song has metamorphosized, as a lot of the old songs have.
Which songs did you initially experiment with but found problematic? I'm curious.
If they even seemed slightly problematic, we wouldn't even consider them again, and so we'd just move on to the next song. And we tried to do arrangements of certain songs to see if they would spark. For example, we did try to do an arrangement of Everything I Do, but I mean, the song was originally already acoustic,
right?
And to do it again, we would have had to do the heavy metal version. So the thing to do was really just to try and bring the songs into a different world that perhaps they wouldn't ordinarily be thought of. You know, there's a song like on the album called I'm Ready, which I wrote when I was 18, and that song was recorded on Cuts Like a Knife. It was recorded a few years after I wrote it, and we reinvented that quite severely for this record. And I'm actually very proud of that arrangement. I think it's a real jewel on the album.
It's one of my favorite rockers that you did originally, but it gets totally transformed.
Yeah, it gets completely transformed, and it's got a Celtic sort of vibe, and it's really quite. It's got a lonesome sound to it now, which I like. But see, that song never got a chance before. I mean, people, like yourself, might have played it, but it never got heard. And so, what this Unplugged allows you to do is to take a chance and reinvent it. And that's exactly what we did. We reinvented it.
I'd like to see you, thought I'd let you know. I wanna be with you every day. Cause I got a feeling it's beginning to grow. There's only one thing I can say. I'm ready to love you. I'm ready to hold you. I'm ready to love you. I'm ready to hold you. I'm ready as I'm gonna be. When you left me here, told me that love was hard to find. But baby, it's easy, and I'll make it clear. There's only one thing on my mind. I'm ready to love you. To hold you. as I'm gonna be.
Hi, this is Brian Adams. You're in the studio with myself and Redbeard for Unplugged. Well, let me tell you something, Redbeard. This performance took an hour and a half to record. My last album took a year and a half to record. So
how does performance differ from a studio album?
Well, I think in some ways we had a lot of things to our advantage, because there were songs that were already written and we were just rearranging them. When you're going to make a new album, you have to literally write a whole new bunch of songs, and that's what takes the time. It's not so much the recording of them, it's actually the writing that takes the time. So when you have someone like Don Henley who spends 5 years between albums, it's because you're sitting there trying to come up with another song, and it ain't easy. Well, look, I mean, I don't really think about the whole sort of album sale thing. I don't really pay attention to it, and I'm only into this for making music, and that's why I was challenged by the MTV folks to do something like this. And it's a great opportunity for me to reinvent and to keep changing. And well, I don't really know about credibility. I just know about music, and this is about music. And so when someone calls me up and says, "Hey, you know, do you fancy coming out and singing?" You know, it could be Tina Turner, or it could be it could be Bonnie Raitt, or it could be Barbara Streisand, or it could be, I don't know. If it seems like something that would be musically challenging, I'm normally quite interested in it. And, you know, I've had some pretty high moments in my life singing with people. And, you know, one of my highest moments was singing with Smokey Robinson at the Apollo Theater back a few years ago. It wasn't a record, but it was a TV show. And I suppose, you know, if you can walk into a world that is unfamiliar and make it seem like your own for a moment, then I think you've accomplished something. And I'm into this for music. I'm not sure about, I don't know, it's a fickle world about whether you're credible or not. And at the end of the day, if you feel comfortable making music because it's what inspires you, then that's what you should do. It's not about trying to garner up an image. It's about garnering up. It's about making music. I mean, I did this thing a few years ago, which was madness. I went and sang with an opera singer called Luciano Pavarotti, mm-hmm. and he has this show every year. I mean, Eric Clapton was on it last year, and U2 was on it before that. And you know, I stepped on stage and sang in Italian on live television, but it's only because I was challenged by the idea of it. And life is about creating yourself little challenges. Otherwise, things can get kind of dull. And I brought my dad along with me, and we had a fantastic time in Italy, and we sang, and we ate great pasta, and we had a great time. And it's one of the most memorable moments of my life. But it's, again, the reason what was great about it was it was music. It was about making music.
Got a nasty reputation and a talent for sin. She's the kind of trouble I like to be in. I wanna be a lover, I wanna be a slave. She's the kind of woman makes me wanna misbehave. She said, "I'll give you what you want, boy. Let's make it understood. If you wanna be bad, yeah, you gotta be good." She says, "There'll be no lying, no fooling around. There'll be no 7-day weekends, no nights on the town." She said, "That's the way I want it. That's the way it's gotta be. If you're looking for trouble, better get it from me. So get on your knees, boy, do what you should. If you want to be bad, yeah, you gotta be good.
Tell me about your relationship with Keith and why it's lasted. Obviously, there's got to be even more than a musical bond here.
Well, we met in Toronto in 1976, and we were sort of in rival bands at the time, and we went and had a cup of tea, and we had a talk about music, and a couple years later, when I was putting my album together and my first sort of touring band, I called him, and he came out with me. And the only way I can really describe what it's like to have sort of a friend, a brother, if you like, to have working with you for such a long time. As the other night, we were talking about going on tour again, and I was like, oh, going on tour. I was just dreading the idea of going out again. And I looked at the sort of, you know, 2 or 3 month schedule on it. And then Keith walked in the room, and I thought to myself, you know, that's the reason why I go. I said, Keith, you know, man, when I see you, now I want to go out. I said, until you walked in the room, I was ready to go home. So, you know, there's a reason why we still play together as a band. The whole band I have has been together for a long time. And, you know, we don't have a name for the band like the Heartbreakers or the E Street Band or something like that. Maybe we should be called the Dudes of Leisure. But, we've been together a long time. And that, you know, Keith isn't the only guy. Dave Taylor plays bass with me. He's been a long time. Mickey Curry, who plays drums with me a long time. Tommy Mandel, and who plays keyboards. You know, we've all been together. And I've been quite loyal to a lot of people in my business, whether it's Bob Clearmountain, who does their mixing, or the songwriters I've worked with. You know, I like the idea of staying.
Personal manager.
My personal manager, who we've been together since I was 18. So, you know, you know, it's about a brotherhood. It's not about sort of flitting and flattening around all over the place. You know, I'm comfortable with the people I met, and I stick with them.
thinking about all our younger years. There was only you and me. We were young and wild and free. Now nothing can take you away from me. We've been down that road before, but that's over now. You keep me coming back for more. And baby, you're all that I want. When you're lying here in my arms, I'm finding it hard to believe we're in heaven. And love is all that I need. And I found it there in your heart. It isn't too hard to see we're in heaven. Someone who will turn your world around, bring you up when you're feeling down. Now nothing can change what you mean to me. Oh, there's lots that I could say, but just hold me now, 'cause our love will light the way.
Practicing a song for about a year, so we should get it right tonight.
Well, recently we played a gig in Egypt. We played in front of the pyramids, and we did a concert in front of the Sphinx. And you know, I had to pinch myself. I turned around and look at Mickey Curry, my drummer, and right behind him was the Sphinx. It's just like you couldn't ask for a better setting. So I mean, those kind of things, and you know, I'll never forget them. We've been really lucky that, you know, the music that we've made over the last, you know, umpteen decades has transcended beyond, you know, way beyond any borders I would have ever expected.
you know, certainly from beyond my basement. And, you know, we can play practically anywhere. There's not a country in the world I can't go to and do a concert. I suppose the most difficult times were, you know, were the beginnings, but they were also kind of great times too, because when you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Like I was saying to you earlier, Redbeard, you know, you already know the answer is no, so you just got to go for the yes. You know, struggling to get people to recognize and support and believe, and it was work. And, you know, you go to extreme lengths to, and way beyond what things you'd ever expect to do for, to just to get the message across. And it's been a fascinating trip. I mean, and it's not over. I'm so incredibly grateful for the, you know, times I've had. And, you know, I often say to friends, you know, hey, well, if it all ended tomorrow, it's been great, you know. But it doesn't seem to be ending, and there's more music being made. I've got some songs coming up in a film. You know, there's always something new around the corner.